Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
As already been expressed, I do want to commend you for having the energy and the desire to go to church on a very rainy Sunday morning. And I also was told that this is probably one of the rare times that during the rainy season that this is the amount of rain that goes on in this country. What is predictable, however, in the 3 years that I've lived here, is that every time the Christmas season hits, the nation drains. A lot of people leave, and as you can tell by the number of seats that are empty, a lot of people have drained away into holidays and all that. So please shake the person's hand beside you and say, I'm here for you. I mean, I know you feel like the world is drained, but just to assure you that there's still somebody here for you. Merry Christmas, everybody. And what accounts for the little coat that I have this morning is not really Christmas. It's more the rainy weather. And as I was thinking about Christmas and thinking about years of doing Christmas messages, I tried to recount how many years I've been doing this, and it's been over 30 years. And typically, when you do Christmas messages for 30 years, you preach lots of them, because with Christmas messages, there's about two or three of them every year. So I was thinking about how to start this, and I thought about what a Martian would think of Christmas. And this is how bored I was in thinking about, what would I say again? It's the same Christmas. So what would a Martian say if he came to Earth at Christmas time? What would he encounter? What would he see? What would be the dominant thing that he would see? And what were the questions he was going to ask about Christmas? This would be your child. This would be Michael Blanding's son who's growing up. And he's kind of like a Martian who doesn't know what Christmas looks like. And he's walking around looking at all these things and asking questions. Who is this guy? Who is Rudolph anyway? And he's because he's everywhere. Everywhere I go to the malls, I hear the songs, I hear all of these things. It's all about this guy. And why is his nose red anyway? And so all of these questions hit us. And what's Christmas got to do with my two front teeth? You know, it's like, and please hear me out here. I listen to these songs. I love these songs. I grew up with these songs. But let's just not make a mistake that this is what Christmas is all about. But it's the dominant thing. And who in the world is Frosty? And why is he important? And more importantly, who is this fat man with a beard and a dread suit? Because everywhere I go, I see him. And this is the question of Christmas. And my message is really very simple. It's just a review of the words of Christmas. But more importantly, why is it so important? Why do we take the time to do this thing? And how we can easily miss the significance of this very important celebration. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, there were shepherds. This would be the equivalent of ordinary people like you and me, who were out in the fields doing their work. They were just working. And they were keeping watch of their flocks at night, securing and making sure they don't stray or they don't get robbed or just fulfill the role of being a shepherd. And then an angel appeared to them and said to them, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And it's the encounter of the supernatural and the spiritual and the physical and the natural. And what happens when you have such an encounter that you're not used to because it's spiritual in nature, there's a level of being terrified. I've got a chinning bar on one of the doors in my apartment. And when you're 62 years old and you're still attempting to do this, you buy that and you include this rubber strap that you put on your knee just to make sure you don't kill yourself. Okay? And so I've got this rubber strap. Now, the other night, I was all alone in my house. My wife was out, and I was walking by this dark hallway, and I tapped the rubber and started moving, and I thought it was some kind of ghost or spirit, and kid you not, I had goosebumps all the way to every nail in my body. Because it's something that terrifies us when there's something supernatural or spiritual, and that's what happened to these guys. They were just tending their sheep, and all of a sudden these beings, these angels show up. And the result is they're terrified. And what's interesting is the angel said, do not be afraid. It's interesting that God appears and they're terrified. And the first message is, hey, you shouldn't be afraid. You should actually not be afraid of the spiritual. The spiritual is not something to be afraid of. It's something to understand. and realize is real. And he says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. In fact, instead of being afraid, you need to understand I've come here to bring you good news. That's supposed to not be just good news, but of great joy and significance. This thing is so significant. It's so mind-blowing. And it's not just good for you. It's good for everybody. It's for all people. That's Christmas. The thing that terrifies you, the spiritual becoming physical, that's what happened here. The spiritual from another dimension, it would be the Martian from outer space, standing in front of you, something obscure and alien that you've never seen before, and all of a sudden in full body regalia, it's standing in front of you. It'll terrify you. But the message is don't be terrified. It's actually good news that's going to give you great joy, and not just for you, but for everybody else. Interestingly, the angel continues and says, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, the Messiah, the Lord. This is the significance of this spiritual happening, is that the Messiah, the God of heaven, is actually coming down to become a physical being. And the reason why we had to come here and announce it to you is because there's really nothing special about this. The sign is you're going to find a baby, and the baby is the ultimate identification of the weakness of mankind. This is the weakest form that man could ever be. And this baby is lying in cloths. He's poor, and he's sleeping in a manger. There's nothing significant. And that's why it had to be ushered in by the supernatural, by angels declaring this, so that you understand what's happening. The supernatural and the spiritual is becoming natural or physical. Let me review. A bunch of shepherds met an angel. The angel says, do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy. And the reason why is because of this baby, this God, this spiritual being becoming a physical being. That's the message. What is before, beyond our reach is now within our reach. And more importantly, not just within our reach, we could actually enjoy it and enjoy everything about it. That is good news. Now, the other side of that announcement is now the physical has become spiritual. What was otherwise physical can now become spiritual. What I am, a physical person, can now fully enjoy the measure of the spiritual person that I really am. Now, let me explain this to you. One of the most fundamental, if you're going to enjoy Christmas this year, I need you to understand this. The most fundamental truth about the spiritual life is everything that is physical is subject to destruction. Everything you own, your shoes, if you buy a Nike, it was designed to disintegrate before your very eyes so that you will buy another one. Amen? Your physical body, anything that's physical that you see, anything, chair, house, career, your physical body, whatever it is you own, your headset, your Mac, your whatever it is, your iPhone, that's gonna disintegrate one day because it's physical. And anything that is spiritual is indestructible. You cannot destroy it. You cannot destroy a spirit. The only thing that can destroy a spirit is another spirit. But you can't destroy it. It's indestructible. And that's why this is good news, because literally the physical, you know, no amount of yoga is going to make you indestructible. No amount of the most beautiful furniture you buy is destructible. And by the way, there's nothing bad about these things. There's nothing wrong with these things. It's just that you need to know that these things are subject to destruction and the supernatural and the spiritual is not. That's the fundamental difference. Best way to illustrate that would be your computer. You've got a hardware that will one day be destroyed. No matter what you do, that thing's going to break down. The battery's going to die. You're going to have to replace that. But the software, the spiritual side of that machine is not going to be destroyed. The only thing that can destroy software is another software. Are you following? And so if you're smart, you want to live life not just in the physical, but in the spiritual, because what you do in the spiritual is indestructible, and everything that you do in the physical is subject to decay. That's the good news. The good news is I can now finally enjoy this. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, chapter 1, verse 23 says, for you have been born again. That's that word perishable, or something that is going to perish one day, but imperishable. That's the spiritual. The spiritual does not perish. Your body, my body, is designed to decay. Food's designed to perish. The spirit is designed to be imperishable. The choices we make on a daily basis are going to be both physical and spiritual. I was walking through the mall, and I could literally hear the devil tell me, stop by Fair Price and buy yourself a Ferrero Rocher. Right? Very physical, okay? You don't need five, you just need three, okay? It's not a sin, okay? Just go there. So that's a physical choice that I can choose that doesn't really have a lot of danger, or I can choose to say no and go spiritual. I'll let you know later what my decision was. This was early this morning at Vivo. But there's a decision, always. By the way, your entire life is a decision to do the physical or the spiritual. The physical decisions will have no large effect on your spiritual, but your spiritual decisions have massive effects on your physical being. Massive. Unbelievable. Relationally, financially, health-wise, they have massive effects. But your physical decisions will barely touch your spiritual life. In Jesus, your spirit has been born again. In Jesus, now you have that capacity to understand that you are a spiritual being. And you can make these choices. By the way, when I say spiritual, do not hear me wrong. A lot of people, when I say spiritual, what they hear is religion. And that's not what I'm talking about. What people hear is, okay, now we're about to talk about religion. No. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the part of you that is indestructible. So many Christians click out. When you say spiritual, oh, it's religion time. Okay, we're going to talk about Bible and verses. No. That's not what we're talking about. The Bible is physical words, but the Bible is also spiritual words that when they come into your soul, changes you. Makes you imperishable. That's the difference. To those who by persistence in doing good seek. Everybody say seek. Are you seeking glory and honor and immortality? Immortality, by the way, means cannot be destroyed. Mortal means can be destroyed. That's the difference. Your body, anything that's physical is mortal. It can be destroyed. Anything that's spiritual is immortal. You cannot destroy it. We're going to talk about it next week. How can something immortal be destroyed? It can be. But it can only be destroyed by spirit as well. And thus, the choices we make will determine the kind of life we live. Are these things eternal? Are the things, the decisions I'm making, creating a pathway for something that's indestructible, hence, is eternal? And am I persisting in that? Is that, but Jesus came and was born for us and died for us, but he cannot live his life for us. We have to live this life by making daily choices. So there are spiritual choices that affect our physical lives. That's why I love Christmas. Because they have effects. Those daily choices are important. Let me illustrate this to you. You've got your physical body and you've got your spiritual life. Every day you have a choice. And one will head in a different direction. Something that's perishable, something that's destructible, or something that's imperishable, or something that's indestructible. It's a choice. It's a daily choice. You can choose to entertain yourself. You can choose to watch 100 videos. You can choose to play video games. That's going to be destructible. That's going to be time-bound. That's not going to amount to much. Or you can choose to make choices that are imperishable. 1 Corinthians 15:54, when the perishable, that's the idea, has been clothed, when the physical has been clothed by the imperishable, when the word of God comes, and that does not just become a physical word, but a literal spiritual word that makes me imperishable. My physical body is designed to decay and to perish. My spiritual life is designed to live for immortality. then the mortal, the thing that can be destroyed, can no longer be destroyed. That's powerful. That's Christmas, not Frosty. Especially not your two front teeth. It's to know that every step I take can be leading me to immortality. To know that every step I take is leading me to a place where I'm going to be indestructible, that is a powerful thought. Worth singing about. Now, that's the danger when you think that the spiritual life is just a religious thing. It has no power. Now, further it says, then the saying that is written shall come to pass. Death, which is the worst thing that can happen to me, has been swallowed up in victory. The spiritual life has swallowed this death, and I can now live this spiritual life that affects my physical life until the day that that perishes and this eternal life steps into eternity with God. Wow. That's Christmas. I love the snow, but I love this better. Where, O death, is your victory? You can actually taunt it. Okay, where's your victory? How can you even win against me? Where is your sting? And this is just the part of it, the indestructible. Now, more than that, it's the temporal now becomes eternal. Whenever we make spiritual decisions made available to us in Christ, that's powerful because now, not only do we become immortal, we become now, we take what is temporary, the relationships we have on this earth become eternal. We start living life in this realm of eternity. We start preserving these things. Now, again, here we find the physical, the spiritual. This journey will lead us to two different directions. One will make us to the temporal or the time-bound. Your marriage can be time-bound or your marriage can be eternal. It depends on the choices. The timeless. Time-bound marriages are based on physical decisions. I like that woman better now, so I'm going to divorce my wife, and you just lost her for all of eternity. Because you've made physical decisions rather than spiritual decisions. You've made choices based on something that's time-bound rather than something that's eternal. That's the difference. I don't want to invest in things that I'm going to wake up, it's going to be gone. I want to invest in things that when I wake up are going to be there for the rest of my life. And these are my choices. I want to be timeless. That's what eternity means, something that's timeless. When a painting is timeless, when certain things are timeless, when something is time-bound, in a few more months, that fashion's gone. That pop culture, that influencer in the internet won't have anything. It won't have any basis in your life. Marriages are what they are. They're not subject to change. Get this verse, and you've heard this. If you're married, if you're not married, you've all heard this verse. For this reason, this is now Jesus saying this. A man will leave his father and mother and be united to his, and they will become one physically. That's what he's saying, flesh, physically. And you all know that's not possible. My wife's over here. If you read that verse and you ask my wife, please stand up, and you say, you're going to see two flesh, amen? You're going to see one flesh. You're going to see two bodies. She was at home while I was in a cab going to Vivo. So what was Jesus talking about? The flesh, the physical life, the emotions, the will, the mindsets follow when you're spiritually one. When you're one with people, when you're one with God, the rest of the physical actually follows. It's almost automatic. You don't even have to work it. Now, if you're one physically, but you're not one spiritually, you have surprises coming, and they're not going to be very nice. Because you're going to realize you actually don't value the same things. And that's why Christmas is important. They are no longer two, but one flesh. He repeats it. And here's the magic. Because whatever God does, whatever the supernatural and the spiritual does, no man can separate. And the only one who can separate this is you. You make the choice. By the way, in case you haven't figured this out, the most influential person in your life is Jesus. And the second one is not your boss and not your spouse, it's you. Because only you can dress yourself up and decide if you're going to church or not. Amen? Don't blame your wife why you're late in church today. Amen? And don't blame her that you didn't show up for church today, because the reason why you did or didn't is largely because of your own influence. Jesus came and died for you. Your choice to die to him, for him, he's not going to do it to you. You're going to have to choose that. Those are going to be choices you're going to have to make on a regular basis. The timeless now becomes time-bound. I love this part of this revelation. I got sick. Put a picture of, that's not me, amen. Somebody dying in his deathbed. But I got sick a few weeks ago. My wife and I were in Manila, and we were babysitting one of our grandkids, and he had a virus. And we picked it up, and it was one of those strong viruses. And so we were staying at home, and two of our grandkids visited us, and they carried yet another set of viruses. So by now, we had three different kinds of viruses going. And so we were really sick. I mean, headaches, it was like toink, 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 toink. And the only thing we could do with each other was to literally meow at each other, because we could even talk. Our throats were so painful. We could meow with others. All we could do, we were both sick. I had an option. I can kick bucket and complain and start arguing my physical body sick, or I can tap into the spiritual and say, no, God, I haven't changed. My body's changed, but my spirit hasn't. The joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the self-control hasn't changed. That's what's powerful about this thing. You can actually live the spiritual life today. You can choose to walk this thing today. But what happens is the physical becomes so strong. Frosty and Santa Claus and all these things are all physical. They're all so strong, you forget. This is what Christmas is all about. The imperishable, the immortal. Now, that's not to say we're not going to enjoy Frosty, amen? I saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus by Jackson 5 last night. It's one of my favorite Christmas songs. Okay. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm just saying these things are going to end. These things are not going to be there to meet you. The human spirit can endure in sickness, it says. Physical body can't, but the human spirit can. But a crushed spirit, who can bear? When that spirit is dead, when that spirit is not there to sustain you, you're not going to make it. Because the spiritual is not time-bound. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable will become imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. There's that word power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. That's what Christmas is. There's a spiritual dimension, a dimension that we don't see, but we understand and we feel because of what Jesus did for us. That's the message. Now let me try and land this with two more points. This is my favorite right here. This physical is limited, the spiritual is unlimited. Last week we had a scare. We had a phone call, and the phone call was our dog Vito, whom we can't bring in. How old is he? He's turning 11? He's turning 8. So what is that, 56 years old? Okay, no. Basically, he needs surgery. And so my wife is worried, okay, he needs surgery, so should I go there? You know, he can't stand hospitals. This is a dog that if you put him in a hospital overnight, he's going to scream his head off. That's what's going to kill him, not the surgery. He just loves his house so much that he doesn't want to go anywhere. So in short, we said, told the vet, just treat him, and we can't do that. We can't wait. He'll die if he goes there. So you got to wait another week, because we're not going to be home till the Christmas season. That's the time we can do it. So finally, that week went by, and then we got another phone call. He's throwing up again now. He's really losing weight. So finally we said, call the doctor. Sir, ma'am, we're sorry. He needs surgery. So long story short, there's Vito after his surgery. So he has this cone of of shame, right? Because he's gonna eat the stitches. That's what dogs do. You know why dogs eat stitches? Because they don't have a spirit. They're stupid. No matter how hard you train him, you're gonna have to put a cone, even though he's 56 years old. Eternal, amen? I woke up this morning and I was trying to make friends and a piece, or I could send my hand, and what came back was a pair of socks. I said, why are you doing that? Because you were arguing, threw it in her face, and now I have a case. I have an issue now. But it's more than physical, you see. Dogs have a limited view because they don't have a spirit. If I brought Vito in here, here's what he's going to do. He's going to pee everywhere. Because he's going to mark his zone. He's so limited in his view. I've got to figure out where my boundaries are. As human beings, we don't have that. We've got a spirit that is able to view with an unlimited perspective. That's the fundamental difference. The boundary lines for us have fallen for us in pleasant places. We don't have to urinate and put our boundary stakes, because we know they are delightful because they come from God. And that regardless of how bad my situation is, God's going to figure something out. I just said the time is up. I'm overdoing this thing. I'm only in my third point. I was thinking about this and I thought about flight. And I Googled how many flights there have been since the invention of the airplane. 4.8 billion flights in the last 100 years. It all began like that. Who would have imagined? The limited mind can only imagine so far. I was reading The Economist, and they were writing about all this new meats that are coming out that are going to be 10 times healthier, looks like, feels like, touches like, bleeds like meat and fish and chicken, but it's not any of that. It's all vegetables. I'm thinking about how man can think about autonomous cars and flying cars, because there's a spiritual side to man that knows there are multiple dimensions, and even all of that has a limit, because the only thing that really has no limit is the reality of the spiritual life that's greater than any of these. And as I close, it is written, who no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind can conceive. Think about that. No eye can imagine, no ear can hear, no human mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. Let me close. Limited and limited, power and power. The Greek word for the physical power is called exousia. Mental power, emotional power, physical power. The Greek word for spiritual power is dunamis, unlimited, recreating, ever-developing, explosive, reforming, changing, never-ending, inexhaustible. But those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ's power, the power of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than all of man's strength. Let me just close with this. Why is Christmas so important? The spiritual has become physical. More importantly, the physical can now be spiritual. Which means, while we were once headed for destruction and perishing, we become indestructible and imperishable. While we become, once we're mortals, now we become immortal. While we become temporal, we now become eternal. And our decisions can be the same. While we become limited, we now have an ability to become unlimited. And while we rely on human power, we can now rely on God's power. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this church. God, thank you for all that you've done this year. And Father, even as we speak of Christmas, Jesus, of what you've done for us, may we embrace its fullness. God, to know that once upon a time we were headed for destruction. we were headed for perishing, but now, Lord, we are imperishable and indestructible. And Lord, we once had a temporal life, and now we have an eternal life. A life that is set by limits and boundaries, and now we have an unlimited access to your supernatural power. Seal this simple truth in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.